Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing this morning? Wow. Appreciate you, Dean. How are we doing this morning? This is the first Sunday of 2022, and I kind of want to go into the new year praising. How about you? So as you make your way down, can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me? As you make your way down, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've got it. Turn to your other neighbor. Say, neighbor, I've got it. I've got the Holy Ghost inside of me. Y'all ready? Come on. I've got it. I can't explain it, but I got it. Come on and sing that. I've got it. I've got it. I got it. I got it. Something about that Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I got it.
Can we sing that one more time?
I got it.
Well, welcome everybody. For those of you who don't know, I'm Pastor Aaron. I'm the children's pastor here at His Tabernacle, and I just want to welcome you to this beautiful 11 a.m. service on the first Sunday of the brand new year. First and foremost, we would also like to welcome all of our guests and visitors. If you are new here, welcome and hello from me personally, you know, all the way from over here. We do have a connection room for all of our guests. So if you are new or you brought someone new, over here on this side of the building, we have a connect room after service where you can come, eat some snacks, drink some coffee, meet our pastoral staff. It's really fun. I stop by every day just to make sure the cookies taste all right for you guys. So they're great today. So make your way over there after service. Thank you again, Dustin. Also, starting next Sunday, we have our prayer summit. It is our week of prayer and fasting starting Sunday night at 6 p.m. right here in this sanctuary. The other two campuses will come on that Sunday to join us for an evening of prayer and worship. Then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 here and the other campuses, we will have nights of prayer. There'll be lots of worship, lots of prayer. It's a great week. Come on out and join us. And then also, every Sunday, this is also for those of us who are newer here or who would like to learn more about the church. We have our Discover class. It starts at 9:30 a.m. in the Connect Room, and it's a four-week class that goes over who we are, what we believe, and what we're doing. So if that's something you are interested in, again, go to the Connect Room after service, grab some coffee, grab some donuts, and tell Kayla and Terry that you would love to join. Now, let's get back into worship.
Come on and clap with us. I got it, I got it. Come on and sing that out. I got it.
But I got it.
I got it.
I got it. something about that Holy Ghost. Can't explain it. Come on now, you ready? I got it in my hands.
I got it in my hands.
Got it in my feet. Well, I got it in my walk. I got it in my talk. Well, I got it in my hands. I got it in my feet. Well, I got it in my walk. I got it in my talk. Well, I got it.
I got it.
I got something.
Something about that Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I got it.
Let me do it one more time. I've got it in my head.
I got it in my hands. I got it in my feet. I got it in my walk. I got it in my talk. I got it in my hands. I got it in my feet. Got it in my walk. Got it in my talk. I got it. I got it.
Come on, real loud. Something about.
Something about that Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I got it.
Jesus was forsaken, so I will never be. His grace is my salvation, the gift of God, the work of Calvary. It is a
triumphed over death forever. God is healing. Somebody you're having struggle with angina. God is healing your heart right now. Command it all to come into alignment with the word of God in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that in this room today, your presence is here. God, we love you. We thank you that we are so honored to be where you are. So many times, Father, we forget that most of us are Gentiles. We shouldn't even have had the opportunity to come into your presence or be saved. But thank God for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for revealing the great mystery that today we have the opportunity of coming into your throne boldly. Today, God, because your presence is in the room, there is everything we need available right now. God, as every person has needs in their life, we ask that you'll hear them. That God, you'll release from heaven right now the answer, God, that they're asking. That Jesus, you'll bless your babies, bless your children, and pour out your spirit. Someone else is having problems in your jaw, on your right side. God is healing that. It's right here, right here. In Jesus' name, I release healing into that, whether it's your tooth or your jaw. In Jesus' name, I command healing. Somebody else having problems in your left hip. God is healing your left hip more to the back than to the front. God is restoring you. Someone's having back issues, but it's more on the shoulder blade on the left side. God is restoring you in the name of Jesus. In fact, you got a doctor's report on it, and it's not a good doctor's report, but I reverse the doctor's report in the name of Jesus, and I command the report of the Lord to take precedence. Lord, we command the facts to be submitted to the truth. In Jesus' name. God, we give you honor and praise. You are so faithful, Lord. Someone else is having intestinal problems way down on the right-hand side, down near the bottom of your tract. Really what it is the transition from your small intestine to the large intestine area. God is healing you right now in Jesus' name. Yep, I see it right there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command, Lord God, I command that pocket to be gone in Jesus' name right there. Father, I just thank you. Lord, you are the restorer. You are the healer. You are the one that loves your children. And you gave us a phenomenal covenant. We're unwilling to leave any of it on the table. We're taking it all, Lord God, that you gave us. We are blessed because we are your children. Every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. And we receive them in Jesus' name. I'm also reminded, Father, that some have sown in this room. You've been waiting for your harvest. You need to start calling it in. The Bible says that if you seed, you shall harvest. Oral Roberts made the statement, I believe it was Oral Roberts made the statement, one of the things that he saw in the last days, one of the things that needed to change was the church was leaving their harvest in the field. God is saying, start calling in that harvest. I'm waiting to release it into your life in Jesus' name. God, we thank you. You are so good, and we love you today. Thank you for worship, our ability to bless your name. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. God, we thank you that tonight, or today, Jesus, we're going to hear your word, your prophetic word for this year, for this season. And God, we will tune our ears. We will not be dull of hearing today, but we will make our hearing keen that we can hear the very words of heaven deposited in our spirit in the name of Jesus. Someone else having back problems on your upper back, if you take your shoulder blade, draw straight across the shoulder blade right in there, and God is healing that, restoring that. I command that disc to be made. In fact, it's disintegrating. I command a brand new disc to be created. Lord, I speak right now also to the vertebrae in Jesus' name. I command you to be right there. Come on now, open up, receive the disc. And I command the disc to be hydrated, and I command the bone that is disintegrating also to be healed in Jesus' name. I command it to you right now in the name of Christ. Father, you are creator. Creative miracles are not abnormal for you. Jesus, if you can call it in, you can recreate it. So we thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness in our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. I made a decision this winter. Yesterday was 50 some odd degrees, and today is not. How many of you know today is not 50 degrees? I was standing in the parking lot. You know your pastor loves you. You're right. It is 50 degrees somewhere, just not here. Amen. And so I made a decision. Everybody with fashion understands that pastels are supposed to end in the fall. I'm wearing them all winter long because I call in Harley weather for the glory of God. Amen? Welcome with me, Pastor Cody Spencer.
Look at that smile. Oh, man. Hey, who made a financial goal for 2022? Let me see some hands. Awesome. Look, who made goals at all? Who's still waiting to make theirs? Be honest. It's okay. Awesome. Well, look, I believe in financial goals. I think that they're great because I think that God wants us to be more blessed, and I think we want to be more blessed. Amen? Last service, they didn't really want to be too blessed. You guys don't want to be too blessed. Father, I pray then that they stay at the same financial level. But what are you doing? You know, I believe in increase. I believe that God wants to bring increase. Not just so that we can take better care of our families, but so that we can bless our community. We can see the house of God rise up. God, I'm so excited about what God's going to do in 2022. But also, I know that having a goal doesn't mean that things are going to get done. And I love what Jacob said in Genesis chapter 28, verse 20 through 22. He said this, he said, he made a vow. If God will be with me and keep me on this journey and give me food to eat and garments to wear and return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. Amen. And this stone, which I've set up as a memorial stone in the house of God, and everything that you give me. You know, when we think about our lives, everything that good that we have is from God. He said, in everything that you give me, you know, that raise, God gave you. That ability to prosper, God gave you. That idea, God gave you. That work ethic, God gave you. He said, everything you give me, I will assuredly give you a tenth. You know, here we teach a tithe. I think it was before the law. I think Jesus taught it. And I believe that a tithe won't just bring you from a goal, but I believe it'll put God's hand of blessing in your life. And some people are funny about money in the church. They say, well, the church just wants your money. I would disagree with you. I actually want to see you have more. And that's by trusting God. You know, nobody in this room could give a single dollar and God's still going to take care of his church. The goal is for you to be more blessed so you can increase, so that the kingdom can increase, so that the community can be blessed through your hands. And when we change our mindset, because I'm serious, we don't want more of your money. We want to see God give you more. And it starts with simple obedience. There's so many testimonies in this room of what God has done financially on people's behalf. And I want to see it in your life as well. So those goals, I would encourage you to make them more than a goal, is to put a vow to God this year that whatever you bless me with, I'm going to honor you with 10% back. It's simple, man. What we don't give to God really is what we put above God, is what we don't trust God with. But what we put in God's hands, we're truly saying, I trust you more than anything. And I'd encourage you this morning to be like a farmer in the spring who trusts the ground that they're going to get back what they put in, and 10 times more, 100 times more. This is the difference of just having goals and having a vow to God, saying, God, I trust you that whatever you give me this year, I'm going to give back to you out of it, because I know it's from you and you're good and I love you. Amen?
Amen.
We do something a little bit different here. We bring our tithes and offerings to the altar. We actually do what the Bible taught, which was to bring and to give what God has for you. I know it's a little bit different than tradition, but we don't really love tradition. We love Jesus here. So we can go ahead and stand to our feet. There's three ways to give. You can give with an envelope. You can give online, or you can text to give. And we also love to declare Deuteronomy chapter 28 over our lives, that we will be blessed. And this morning, Alan is going to share that with us as we prepare to bring our tithes and offerings. But what I do need you to know, too, is Alan just got married. So he's going to lead us in our supernatural declaration. If I obey.
If I obey.
There you go.
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going in.
And I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
I'm blessed.
And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are chasing me down. They're tripping me up. Because I'm a child of God. Now shout with me, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Now, by all means, please go ahead and bring your offerings to the Lord.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Thank you all for braving the weather. Glory to God. We are true New Yorkers. Yesterday was 50 some odd degrees. Today we got sleet. Glory to Jesus. Has it turned to snow yet? Does anybody know? Not yet, or it has? I'm ready for some snow. Everybody ready for some snow? I just hear you. Love hearing your reaction. When I see snow, I book airplane tickets. Glory to Jesus. God is faithful. Amen?
Amen.
I love what God has been doing in our lives, and I love where we are right now. How many of you are glad that you're alive today? You're alive in the greatest season of the church. Now, you know, I'm not talking this church. I'm talking the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Jesus is coming. You know, I'm so excited because God's got a phenomenal plan, and you and I get to be part of what God is going to do. There's no greater privilege as being part of the body of Christ, the household of faith, as right now. Many times, we forget why we're here. And as believers today, I want to come to you in two dimensions. Number one, I want to address where we need to come out of and where we need to go into. You see, today we are recognizing we're coming out of 2021. You know, I had to look at 2021. How many of you have evaluated your life of 2021? All two of you. Am I in a Baptist church this morning? How many of you evaluated your life in 2021? How many of you saw that you changed forward in 2021? Our verse for the year of 2021 was, "Behold, I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be able to perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And you know, I have found that sometimes the rivers, the rivers and the plowing through the trees is not always an easy job. But I have found that I've learned, and I'm a different person. I thank God that I am a different person than I was coming into 2021. I thank God my faith is greater. I thank God my knowing of God is greater. I thank God I'm living better. Can I hear an amen? I thank God I've changed. Someone say amen. Amen. So why am I having you say amen for my change? Well, that's simple. Because there's no one that's an island to themselves. You see, the truth is that I did not want to be a pastor. Had no desire to be a pastor, especially a pastor. I actually wanted to be a game warden. In fact, I remember my senior year of high school, I got two of my buddies to both sign up with me. Now, you see, if you signed up two guys with you into the Marines, you became a PFC. So I decided I'm going to go and I'm going to get a little following so I can go up in rank immediately in the Marines. So I went and I got two other guys and we went and they signed. And here I am, I'm younger. And my dad looked at me and said, "I am never signing for you to go into the Marines." And so those two other guys had to go into the Marines, but I did not. Before that, I had had a situation happen in my life. Because I had no desire to go into ministry, and I wanted to do that, I started pursuing that goal in my life. But I remember one day, my youth pastor said to me, "I'm taking a trip down to Zion Bible Institute, and I'm going down there to look at the school. Would you like to go?" And for me, that just simply meant I get out of school for a day. So I got in the car. We drove down to Providence, Rhode Island, East Providence, and I have a problem that happened that day. I put my foot on the floor, on the ground, as I opened the door, put my foot on the ground. My cousin Karina was with us. And the moment I put my foot on the ground, the Holy Spirit said, "I want you here." And I said, "Nay, saith the Lord, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus." The fact is that I tried everything after that not to go to Bible school. I tried everything after that, like I said, to go to the Marines. After the Marines, my dad wouldn't sign for me. I decided to be a game warden. I'll go to the University of Maine, Orno, and they have a specialized program just for game wardens. So I applied to the college and was rejected by the college because, you know, I spent more days out of school than in school. And so here I am. Finally, the Holy Ghost said, "I told you I want you at that Bible school." So I went to Bible school, and God started doing great things in my life, and God transitioned my life, and He changed my life, and I started pursuing the ministry, what God had foreordained before the foundations of the earth for my life. And many times we just think we're on our own. But you see, you just thank God that I changed in 2021. But also, there's a need to recognize that if I did not respond to the call back in 1984, you would not be sitting here today. There would not be a church building here. There would not be a congregation in this room today. Some of you would not be serving Jesus. You see, there's no one life that's by itself. There's no one life that sits around and if you do nothing, nobody else is affected. You see, we've got to grasp this, that if you're alive today, God's got purpose for your life today. If you're alive today, then we've got to step up to the calling that God has for us today. And this is something that is just beating in my spirit, that many of us, we just are que sera, Jesus, trying to appease him, please him, just to the satisfaction where we're not out of sorts. But God wants to bring us to a place of transition. The Bible says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Which says what? The Lord is speaking to his church. The Bible says that nothing is revealed but first revealed by the prophets. Now you see, I'm not a prophet. I move in the apostolic. That is my anointing that I carry of the fivefold ministry gifts. And in there, God speaks to me as the apostle and the pastor over his Tabernacle Family Church, the direction that he wants his church to take. Last year was Change Forward. Sadly enough, not everybody has an ear. Sadly enough, not everybody wants what God has. Sadly enough, have you ever heard the verse that said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge"? Do you want to know the context of that? It wasn't that God wasn't speaking. It was what the people chose not to hear the prophets. You see, we are not just natural people. We are spiritual people. And we have a spiritual God who has a spiritual word because he sees what we do not see. He's moving us in a direction we might not understand or clearly grasp. But the fact is this, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So there is a need to grab a hold of, not just that I've gone to church, not just that the preacher stood up there and preached, but that if God is propelling us with a prophetic utterance to bring us a direction of his design, then I have got to make sure my ears are not just tuned in to hear a voice, but my spirit is willing to obey. Amen. We are a Baptist church this morning. Amen. When we don't grasp this, then God can speak. And even though God is speaking, it doesn't mean people are hearing. Have you ever spoken at somebody or talking to them? It's something very important that you got to share with them. And it is life-changing. But they look at you and they're not looking at you. They're looking past you. Their mind is somewhere else. They're not conceiving, they're not perceiving, they're not grabbing a hold of the principles you're speaking. So therefore, you just told them, listen, if you go down that road, the road is gone, and you're going to fall off a cliff. So they drive down that road even after you told them not to drive down the road, and they drive off the cliff, and then they get mad at God. There's a need to know that God is speaking to his church. There's a need to know that there were 400 silent years between the Old Testament and the New Testament where God never spoke to his church. But then Jesus, the great prophet, came on the scene. Then Jesus, the great apostle, came on the scene. Then Jesus, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who washed our sins away, came on the scene. And he opened up a door, and that door was, my sheep know my voice. And the voice of the Lord is speaking to his church in these last days because I have a time and a plan, and the church has to understand that I need them to accomplish the purposes and the plan of heaven on earth. Without the church, God is mute. Well, no, God can do whatever he wants. If God could do whatever he wants, then he wouldn't have created the church. God's plan is to use us. Turn to someone and say, you're more important than you ever realized. Just like if I had not gotten saved, just like if 1984 I had not gone to Bible school, you would not be sitting here this morning. So other people will not go to heaven without you. Boy, that got quiet. I said, other people will not go to heaven without you. There are people that are going to go to hell without you. Boy, it's really quiet. I said, there are people that are going to go to hell without you.
Well, you know, I just feel uncomfortable today.
Good. You're never going to move from where you are if you only feel comfortable where you are. Amen. Dave and I, where's Dave? Dave, stand up. Dave and I this morning, come on over here, Dave. Where's Isaac? Dave and Isaac, first service, were outside and the wind was blowing. I had my beaver hat on and I was warm. My hands were starting to get chilly, but Dave, he only had an umbrella. But his wife told him to bring the right clothes and he chose not to listen to the prophetess. So Dave was cold standing out at the road. And here's young man. His nose was red like Rudolph. He never wears right clothes. But I was pretty warm. You know, I was a little chilly, but I was pretty warm. Well, second service comes around. And, you know, I'm out in the driveway. And Dave says to me, do we really need to go to the driveway? And he says, you know, I think it's, you know, we shouldn't go to the driveway. You know, I'm not throwing you under the bus, but that is what you didn't want to go to the driveway. And I said, no, we got to go to the driveway. We got to let everybody know that the pastor loves them. And if you see me out there this morning, you know the pastor loves you. And Dave loves you. But second service, something happened. We still don't have an understanding. We're trying to grasp a hold of it. As Dave and I are standing out at the road with the wind blowing.
We're throwing you under the bus.
And where was he? Well, we start coming inside because we're cold. Guess who opens the door for us? He was chipper, all right.
Nice and warm.
You were nice and warm. You were comfortable.
I was.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Amen.
I would have to have mercy if he didn't do that. But he did do that, so he doesn't get any. Hallelujah. So here we have an opportunity as the very first Sunday of 2022. Oh my goodness. Who would have ever thought 2022 would have actually come? I remember the year 2000 when the world was coming to an end. I remember the very first book, 84 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming in 1984. I remember another book, Why Jesus is Coming in 1987. I remember the year 2000, everything's going to die. The church is going to be raptured. You know, people actually went out and sold things and gave them to people because they thought they were raptured that day. They forgot to read that no man knows the time. But we can't say that Jesus is coming in 2022, but I will tell you this. There's not one prophecy left to be fulfilled. It's very easy to get lazy and lackadaisical. It's very easy to get relaxed and be willing to stay inside while your pastor is out at the road with Dave getting cold. Now, I don't know. He might have had to go potty. I don't know. All I know is this. You have to make a decision in your heart. Just like it's a prophetic word to me too. It's as prophetic to me as it is to you. That the year 2022, we are built different. The theme, the prophetic utterance, the direction of God is that in 2022, we are built different. 2021, we are changed forward. We move from one place to the next. Why? Because it's time to move out of the old and into the new. It's time to get out of the old house and into the new house. It's time to recognize what God has for you in the future, and it's better than what you had in the past. We have been built differently in our families. We've been built differently because we have a different father. We've been built differently because we live by a different set of laws. We've been built differently because we live a different lifestyle. We've been built differently because inside our house is a power, the dunamis, the supernatural heavenly power that is released. We live differently because we have purpose. The problem is that the world and the enemy of your soul want you to think like you're everybody else. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 is one of the verses of our year, and it says this: "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens." Shout, I'm a citizen. Citizenship is the most powerful thing you can give somebody. One of the worst things that could happen to any individual is to have their citizenship extracted. Why is that? Because citizenship gives you a set of laws and a set of rules that you can live by, not just to live by, but expect from. You know something? You can carry around the Constitution of the United States in your pocket 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can memorize it. You can be able to quote it on a drop of a hat. But if you are not a citizen of America, you do not have the right to the Constitution. As a believer, we've got to recognize that we have certain rights because we're part of a different house. If we don't recognize we're built different, then we live the same way that everybody else lives. We act the same way, we react the same way, we respond the same way, we think the same way, we talk the same way. And I want you to know something. In 2022, that is not a luxury for the body of Christ. We have got to literally live and understand that we have been built differently from the inside out, and we are here as missionaries. We are here on a missional task to fulfill God's will on this planet, and sitting back on our laurels is no longer an option, as we're going to have to move forward, press forward, because we've got to recognize in ourselves that we've been built differently, but then the world will recognize we've been built differently. For you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of God's household. Turn to someone and say, I belong to God's house. Now, this is not God's house. This is a building. You're God's house. You and I are the household of faith. You and I are where God abides. You and I are the house that God dwells inside of. For he says, I do not dwell in places made with man's hands. But he dwells within the believers. And today, as the believers are meeting in this room, then we have sanctified this room as God's place that we will worship him in spirit and in truth. But in reality, if it burned tomorrow, the church has not burned. Just like if your house burns, as devastating as that would be, I remember as a child, our next door neighbor's house caught on fire. It was the weirdest thing. I was a young guy, probably no more than 9 or 10 years old. And all of a sudden, I could feel the heat through my window that was facing their house. The raging fire through all the rooms, the firemen working desperately. I remember them pounding on the door of our house, please let us in, our house is on fire. Listen, and I remember the rats running. And I know it's a weird thought, but that's what I remember. As the garage was burning, I saw all the animals, the rats, running out from where the garage was, out into the field. I remember the smell, and to this day, when I drive by something that is burned, a house that is burned, that aroma brings me all the way back as a child because I remember the devastation. But I want you to know something. Their family was not hurt. Their family was not destroyed. They might have had to erect a brand new physical building, but the building called the family was still strong. And I want you to know today that the family of God is still strong, and God is our Father. You and I have been built different, and we've got to recognize that how God has built us is that we will make devastation on the devil's domain right here on this planet. If you're alive, you're not alive on accident. God needs your life. The other verse is Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, and it says this: so then, we have opportunity. Let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. You see, when we think different, we act different. Have you ever met people that are poor? Okay, we are going to sections. Haven't done this in years. You're going to be by hallelujah section. You're going to be by praise the Lord section. You're going to be my oh my section. That is the fun section. Ready? We're going to practice. Here we go. You got like double everybody else. Praise the Lord. Ready?
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Oh my!
I like them. We're going to switch because you're so docile, you're going to be my oh my section. What, you guys are praise the Lord? You're my praise the Lord section, right? Because I want to praise the Lord more than oh my. Here we go, ready? Now you get excited. Now you get excited. So now you're my glory section, okay? Now that you're excited, ready? Now it got quieter. Here we go, ready? We all together? I feel like I'm in a Pentecostal church again. Hallelujah. Amen. The enemy wants you to believe that you are nothing. Do you know what? We've been trained this. We've been trained this through media. Some of you have been trained this through your family. Well, you know, Christians, you know, they're just poor people that need a crutch. You know, these poor Christians, you know, if they were strong enough, they would not need God. Well, you know, you don't need God. You know, you got this thing. Over all the years, people look at the Christians and they've talked badly about them and talked down about them. And many times as believers, we literally have allowed that to become part of the fabric of our thought processes. But yet there has to be a change in how we think. Can I hear an amen? Because listen now, without the church, the world is doomed. When the church is extracted, the Bible says, when the trumpet of God shall sound, those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. So we have the Lord. Encourage one another with these words. When the rapture occurs, the church is gone. Who's the church? The salt and the light. When the salt and the light are gone, what occurs? Then the Antichrist comes on the scene, and you'll find evil being propelled tremendously and horrifically within the 7-year great tribulation period. The only thing keeping this world together is the body of Christ. The only thing keeping the church together is your life. The only thing keeping the church, the world together, is the body recognizing that I'm not like everybody else. That I'm not, I don't act like everybody else. Come on now. We are built different. It's amazing to me as I look at believers, and many of them are just in that survival mode of, I want to just go to heaven. I love the fact of going to heaven. But baby, you're not there yet. And because you're not there yet means your job's not done here yet. So if the enemy can get us to believe that we are nothing more than just people that need a crutch, or people that are needing religion, or people that just need to pray to somebody that's not listening, I want you to know something. The devil is after your God. God esteem. The devil is after you believe it and who you really are. The devil's trying to strip from you who God has said you are, and that you are the household of faith, that you are the children of the Most High King, that you belong to heaven, and that God's law is higher than man's law, and that God wants to use you in a supernatural way. You see, right now I declare the devil is a liar. The world is a liar. I declare and break down the demonic influence against our God esteem, and I declare that we are a house, not just a house. We are the houses of God that declare the goodness of kingdom and that Jesus is alive and not dead. If the devil can get the church to believe that we are just church folk, then the world is doomed. The people that God has called you to will never be saved because you're just a Christianette trying to make it by. But I want you to know, and through this year, God is going to come into your life. God is going to come into your house. God is going to come in, and he's going to tear down some of the portions of your home as you build up. God's going to come in, and he's going to put a new addition in some areas. Some of you, your roof's leaking. You don't just need to call Terry. Jesus is coming to your house. He's going to put a new roof on your house. He's going to bring a new authority to your life. He's going to bring a new understanding of who he is and who you are in him. This is a year that we're going to grasp that God has built us differently than anybody else on the planet. You've heard somebody say, what do you think, you're better than I am now that you're a Christian? Well, yes, I am. Well, that's kind of arrogant, isn't it? Well, no, it isn't. Arrogance is saying you're something that you're not. Humility is declaring who you really are. Are you a child of the Most High God? Have you been washed by the blood of Jesus? Do you have, come on, the law of life in Christ Jesus as the laws that rule you? Are you a person of power? Are you a person of authority? Is the devil subject to you in Jesus' name? Then I think you are better than the people that are not saved. Because you got something they don't have. And they need what you got. So if the devil can get you to believe that you don't have anything that the world needs, that you have to look more like them, then they have to look like you, then they're doomed. How many believers, it's amazing to me, as the devil has lied to them and made Christianity seem as something weak, that they literally, when you start, number one, many people hide their Christianity. They hide their walk with God. Number two, they might not hide it, but to be accepted by their friends, they do what their friends do. When they're around their friends, they cuss like their friends, they drink like their friends, they act like their friends. When they come to church, they put on their Jesus belt, Jesus outfit. But I want you to realize that if we don't change and are not built differently, come on, which we are, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, the Bible says that the foundation that you have can only be built upon Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's only one foundation that you can build on, and that is Jesus. So as we are building on the foundation of Jesus, and he is the great architect of our lives, as we walk in him, for the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, as we allow Christ to get in our life and build the house that we are, then we will find that we will have great impact. Yes, people will not want to come to our house anymore. Yes, people will make fun of our house. Yes, people will say we're this. People will say we're that. But there comes a time in your walk with the Lord that you've got to come to a real quick epiphany. And that is this. I don't care what people say about me. I don't care what people do to me. I don't care the lies they spread about me. I know one thing. I've got to stand before one God. Can I hear it? Amen. And before him, I want to make sure my house is built right. Say amen. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are literally a man and a woman of God. The moment you accept Jesus, you immediately were transitioned. Can you turn to someone and say, I've been adopted? Oh, the Holy Ghost was talking to me about adoption. Adoption is so powerful. Adoption is something that is so real. Why? Because many of us were born into families. But the power of adoption is that you were chosen into a family. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have ordained you that you go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. We've been adopted into the kingdom of God. The Bible declares that in multiple places that we are part of the adoption of Christ, which means when you are adopted, I studied it out a little bit just to make sure I knew what I was talking about. When you were adopted in the time of Christ, you were literally considered that person's child. You had the inheritance. You had the spankings, you had the edification, you had the ownership, you had everything that was in that house, just like the natural child. Because of your adoption, you were considered a literal child of the household. And I want you to know today that God wants to expand us to where we recognize we have been adopted into the household of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He is truly our Father. He is our Abba. He is our King. He is our Lord. He is our owner. He is our Master. He is our King of kings and Lord of lords. He is Adonai, and we will submit our house to him. See, 2022 is going to be a powerful year because those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, you notice that I prefaced that. Not everyone's going to choose. Just like in 2021, not everybody chose to change forward. Some of you are the same person you were when you entered 2021. I don't know about you, man. That is not encouraging. If you didn't change forward but went backwards, oh my goodness, man, you got to grab yourself by the buttocks. You got to whoop yourself. But you got to start changing. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You got to start growing up. Can I hear an amen? Amen. If you're still struggling now to get to church, now, listen now, we always have better attendance January. Why? Because everybody's made their New Year's resolution. I don't want you to make a resolution. Come on now, I want you to make a consecration. There's a difference between a resolution and a consecration. A resolution is, I'm hoping I'm going to do this. That's my goal. A consecration is, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I lay my life on the altar of God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is my reasonable service. Ah, my life, God, I surrender it to you, Abba Father. I surrender it to you, my dad. I declare, whatever you want to do with me, you can. See, when you get to that place, then 2022, being built different, can still mean some pain. Anybody ever renovated before? I'm from New England. My dad was a contractor. I don't tell people that. I worked with him for a lot of years, which means I know how to do a lot of things, but I just refuse to do them. My dad offered me his business, and I said simply, no. But I remember lath and plaster. Do they have that around here? Is that, yeah? Lath and plaster. That's horrid, man. Lath and plaster. I remember going into a room with crowbar and what is that small bar called? Breaker bar. Going in there, and all you're doing with a mask on, they weren't real masks. I'm talking like COVID masks were better. And you were simply ripping and tearing, and you couldn't see an inch in front of your face by the time you were done. And by the time you're done, you got cuts here, you got cuts there, nails have nailed you there, you've stepped on at least two of them, and man, you're very unhappy. Reconstruction isn't always convenient. Reconstruction isn't always pretty. People like it done, but they don't want to pay the price for the completion. Oh, come on now, I'm preaching. All the contractors say amen. Everybody wants something for free. We had to put a rule in our handbook many, many years ago for all of our employees. Why? Because I had an employee, whenever he wanted something done at his house or on his car, he would always go to the people of the church and make them feel guilty until they gave it to him. They would all work for free. He had babysitters all the time. And he never paid one of them. Because he was the pastor. I looked at him and said, I'm sorry. From now on, you have somebody work at your house, you have to pay them. You get a babysitter as a pastor, you have to pay them. A workman's worthy of his hire. Say amen. I don't know why I got into that, but that was free for somebody. I got to get back on task because I could preach for a long time. Oh, my God, I love you. I love it when they say, take your time. Don't stop. What I'm excited about for 2022 is that there's going to become a revelation in your spirit. Some of you don't know the word or understand the word revelation. It's like having a bust or having a painting and covering it with a cloth. And all of a sudden, now is the time for that to be understood. So they take the cloth off, and now you can actually see what is there. I believe God this year is going to bring an apocalypse to you and I as individuals and as the body of Christ to really help us grasp that we are built differently, that we don't have to be the same as the people of the world. Well, you know, I made my bed, I got to lay in it. No, that's not true. I can repent for that bed and I can buy a new one. My roof's leaking, I don't have to let it leak. I'm going to get it fixed. Say amen. My life is screwed up. I believe that God can unscrew it. The structure of your home is where we're going this year. The structure of your spiritual man is where we're going this year. I believe that God is going to structure you fresh in your spiritual man, in your social design. Social design. You ever go to somebody's house and you walk in the house? Do you know that every home has a smell? Isn't it wild? Like, I've been doing this for a lot of years. Everyone's house smells differently. It doesn't matter, you know, it's not a bad smell, but it's a different smell. Everybody has a different smell. I remember one time I was a youth pastor down in Pennsylvania, and I went to go visit a home. And so I knocked on the door, and it wasn't like an elaborate home. I went to the door, and I knocked on the door, and I heard the yiping dogs coming rushing at the door. First of all, that didn't make me really happy because I've been bit more than once. So I opened, they said, come on in, Pastor. So I opened the door, and the where the patio was actually sandish dirt kind of stuff. And here's a pile of dog crap here, pile of dog poop here, pile of dog poop over there. Then I walked right into the kitchen. There's another dog pile of poop over there, dog pile of poop over there, dog pile of poop over there. Then the dog bit me. And that thing was fast. I mean, I was gonna punt that thing, but it moved so fast that I couldn't even get to it to kick it. No, really, I was gonna punt it. It bit me hard. I was just a youth pastor. If they didn't come back to church, the pastor was the one to blame. So here I am. I'm standing in their kitchen. You can't smell food. All you can smell is dog crap. I can't even tell you how to get there. But I can tell you what it smelled like. I went to another house in Newfield. I think I spoke about it a few weeks ago. Walked in the front door, and there's newspapers stacked 6 feet high on all sides. There's a pathway to the sink, a pathway to the dining room table, that only had two chairs because everything around it was 6 foot high with old newspapers. You go in the living room and there was a path to the living room couch which had cages of cats on it. The house had an aroma. There was a smell that when I come into that arena, I can still smell the house. I could never understand why you would save old newspapers, why you would save old news, and why you would allow the old news to corrupt the now house. But that's the way it happens in Christianity all the time. We have problems in our past. We have old news that made us what we were back then. But there's new news that we can accomplish right now. But instead of filling the house with God's principles, we grab the old newspaper, our old lifestyle, and bring it back into the way we are now. There's this other house, the Engman's house. I love the Engman's. They were my youth pastors. But when Amy, come on now, I love Amy. Amy, if you're watching, I love you. I've never forgotten you. When you would walk into the Engman's, I can't tell you how to get to that house either. I can't tell you the color of the house. I knew there were a lot of windows around their house. But I do remember this. The moment you walked into Amy's house, you could smell fresh baked apple pie and fresh brewing coffee. I said, Lord Jesus. You go back, you kick back in there, and a cup of coffee's coming. Would you like some a la mode on your pie? Yes. Every house has a smell. What do you smell like? Do you smell like the world? Do you smell like booze? Do you smell like weed? Do you smell like sin? Because we all carry a scent spiritually. And you see, what's amazing to me is we either draw people in by our aroma. The Bible calls it a sweet-smelling aroma before the Father. We either draw them into our house by the aroma, or we repel them by our aroma. But don't be deceived. Somebody might visit your house, but they'll never stay at your house if it stinks. Oh. Oh, come on, miss. We got to keep moving now. Got to keep moving. This year, God's going to start renovating your life. He's going to renovate your spiritual home materially, morally, passionately, focus, discipline, acceptance, drive. And only God can do that. But you've got to be willing to have the contractor at your house. Anybody here ever hire a contractor? You paid them their upfront money, and they were to, let's say, renovate your your dining room. So here you hire them to come into your dining room. You pay them a third. They come into your dining room. They rip it up. I mean, their whole purpose is to rip it up because you can't have new until you take out the old. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So they come in and they rip it up. Then they don't come back for 2 months. Are you saying, yay? Or you lock the contractor out, still expecting him to do the job. Oh, yeah, these are really good examples. And, you know, I'm not smart enough for these examples. And they're not on my notes. And they're different examples from the first service. So it means God is depositing in people's spirit. Can you imagine locking the contractor out, then getting mad at the contractor that he's not doing his job? But you don't go to church. You don't tithe. You're not part of any ministry. You don't pray except when there's problems. You pick up your Bible, dust it off to bring it to church. Oh, no, you don't do that anymore either. You just bring your phone. And you can't understand why you can't connect with God. See, for God to renovate our houses, God's got to be allowed in our house. for God to come in and to transition you into greater. God has never done bad. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. I want you to know that God has greatness for your life. I want you to know that God has blessing for your life. I want you to know that God has prosperity for your life. I want you to know that God wants to pour out his spirit. God wants to use you in dynamic, supernatural ways. But God cannot do that when you keep locking him out of your house. And then you get mad at him because he doesn't seem to be moving. This is not a new story. I'm almost done. Sorry, I almost lied. It's not a new story. Anybody here ever heard of the Church of Laodicea? Now, for the prophecy folk, this is many times seen as a mirror of our Christianity today. If you're a dispensationalist, they believe that it is a parallel to our dispensation or our time that we're living in, the condition of the church. Remember, the church is not the building, the church is you. So this is what he said, verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea, right, the words of the Amen, which means done. Don't you love it when a contractor is done? No, listen, I do. I mean, when our house flooded and everything, $80,000 worth of damage, we lived in a hotel for 3 months, I personally was very happy when he was done. Why? Because I could go home again and it could feel a little bit more normal. But I would never have been able to stay in my house. It would have been condemned if I wasn't willing to let them come in and tear it up. The faithful, the true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. Which says this, you're doing good things. You're not a bad person. You're not being evil. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would you either be cold or hot? So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will projectile vomit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I am prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, poor, blind, and I said it in first service, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich with white garments, so that you may clothe yourself with the shame from the shame of your nakedness that may not be seen, and to salve your eyes to anoint them because of the eye problem that you have, that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous, therefore, and repent. I love the fact when people say to me, Pastor, I don't know, you just irritate me. And I say to them, I don't understand, you know, what I do. You say it the way it is. And I said, I don't know, I thought I was supposed to do that. But I want to remind you that in the last days, the Bible says there are preachers that will be sent for your itching ears to placate you, to make you feel that everything is good when literally the house is in a shambles. To lie to you to say that there is no issues. You need no renovations. I'm here to tell you, I don't like renovations. I don't like discomfort. But if that's what God has to do to make my house better, Jesus, tear out what you got to tear out. Rebuild what you got to rebuild. Because I know this. When you rebuild it, it's going to be better than it's ever been before. God, I thank you that you are not going to, sometimes it's a full rebuild. Sometimes you just need an update. When we moved into our house, you don't mind me, right? I'm okay, right? I'm okay. Those that are bored, you can leave. I remember when we bought our house in Big Flats. We lived there 18 years, out behind the fire department. And so we lived there. We raised our babies there. It was cool because the school was right across the street. Right across the cornfield. It was a really cool place. But when we bought the house, it's the nicest house we ever lived in. And we walked in, and there in the kitchen is those, come on, I'm talking to the older folk now. Those nasty burnt orange sideboards. That old, does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Is it for Micah? Is that what it's called? Well, I'm Mike. It was for Micah. Yes, it was for Micah. Sorry. I looked there and I said, Rhonda, we got to renovate. Now, we didn't have a lot, but we ended up going to Lowe's, not Highs, going to Lowe's and bought what we needed to buy to take out the burnt orange. And then she painted the cupboards that were 1950s. We changed out the little pullers. What do they call those things? Hardware, thank you. Changed the hardware, just to change and make it look more updated. Then we took the floors out and we put in brand new hardwood floor. It was beautiful. It was a nice house. But the house we moved into was even more of an upgrade. I love the house we live in now. It is beautiful. It has beautiful, what do they call that? Solid cherry floors all the way, which is not dog friendly. Solid cherry floors all the way through the whole house. I'm talking with the gorgeous designs in it. It is a beautiful home. But before I ever got to that one, I had to renovate the first one. Before God can graduate you to a new house, you got to let him in the last house. And if you keep locking him out, oh, that's the verse, ready? Revelations 3:20. Behold! You know what that means? Hey! You! Pay attention! I got the kid watching me on the front row. Hey! Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come in with him and sup with him and he with me. Do you know who said that? Jesus said that. Do you know who he said that to? The church. Where was Jesus? Outside his own church. Knocking, saying, hey, hey, can you hear me? I love that child. Can you hear me? Because just because you got ears don't mean you can hear. Let me in. 2022, built different. Hey! Will you let me in? I want to renovate and make your house amazing. And it's going to smell good. Amen. Shout 2022. I'm built different. Tell somebody, I'm not the same. Shout, I've been built different. That's right. Preacher in the front row. Today, as we're getting ready, I'm excited about this series. We're already planned out 6 months. Hang on for the ride, baby. It's going to get gooder and gooder and gooder and gooder. God's got great things for you this year. If you let him in. If you allow your ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. If you allow the words of the prophetic utterance of where we're going. You're ready to get on the path, not just be a bystander. Today is your day. I'd like you to bow your heads to me this morning. I want to remind you that there is no other foundation to build upon but Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you don't believe in God. I'm not saying you don't love God. But what I'm saying is you have not surrendered your life to Christ. Or you're backslidden, which means what? You once loved God. You once served God as your high priority. And now sin takes the priority. Your personal desires take the priority. As Pastor Cody said, Whatever you are unwilling to give is your God. Today, if you're not right with Jesus, whether you've never built the firm foundation or whether you're in a backslidden condition, I want to introduce you to Jesus. He is awesome. He is a master crafter, a master builder. Oh, this verse is so good. While your head's bowed, I just want to read this verse to you. It's so awesome. And it says this. Oh, where are you? Where are you? Oh, it's in a different set of notes. I was studying it. Hold on, I'm going to it. Don't move. Don't move. All right, you can move. No. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, having been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared that you should walk in them. You know what that means? Workmanship? It means you're a piece of art, baby. God is masterful. Some of you would rather live in the cluttered home of your past, the cluttered home of your sin. You don't mind because you've acclimated that your house smells like cat crap. But personally, I would rather any day smell fresh apple pie with coffee. What does your house smell like? I'm talking you. When people are in your house, come to your house, do they smell Christ? Does your house show Christ? Or do you need a roof repaired? Today, if you do not know Jesus and you want him as your Lord, I'm not asking you to join a church or religion. I want you to know Jesus. If you know and you want him, I want you to slide your hand up right now. Say, I want God to be the Lord of my life. Is there anyone in the room right now? I'm not going to wait long. Come on now. Listen, you're the only one that can let the contractor in. I'm going to count down. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. I am so excited for this year. Thank you so much for allowing me to share with you the word that God has shared for me and with us as the body of Christ at his Tabernacle Family Church, not only here, but this word will be preached in Mansfield, this word will be preached in Ithaca, this word will be preached in Mexico, this word is being preached in Uganda, this word is being preached in West Virginia. This, not all the campuses preach the same word, but I thank God that all over the world, this message is going to be preached. My question to you is, are you willing to hear? It's not whether it's going to be preached or not. I'm going to stand behind this pulpit. I'm going to preach what God shares with me. The question is, will you have an ear to hear? Will you make God your priority? Amen. Me too. Bow your heads with me. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for the power of the prophetic. I thank you, God, that you have a direction for this house to be preached. I thank you, God, that you have a direction for our houses to be renovated, made greater, that, God, you're going to put additions on, that, Lord, you're going to restructure some things, that, God, you're going to make it so that when people come to our house, they're going to say, I feel peace, I feel joy, I feel Jesus, I feel God in this house. Lord, I thank you that this is going to be a phenomenal year. Lord, I pray you get us all past a resolution and get us to a consecration that our lives will not be our own and that we will bring in many souls this year for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The prayer team's coming to the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything, whether it's healing, whether you just are discouraged, you need someone to encourage you, you need someone to agree with you, they know how to pray. Call down the power of God. See transformation. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. I'll see you next Sunday. Don't forget, Thursday night is family night. Make sure that you're here. If you're a guest in the house, we have a guest reception on the other side of this wall. We'd love to meet you. Get to shake your hand. Yes, honey.